Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you, thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world to this program, but also to welcome onto the show this week four exciting, dynamic, and talented players of the game. We have that master of comedy, Paul Merton. We have that outrageous comedian, Graham Norton. We have that talented actress, Sheila Hancock. And we have that master humorist, Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. I'm, as usual, going to ask our four players of the game to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the White Rock Theatre in that delightful coastal resort of Hastings. And we have an enthusiastic, hyped-up Hastings audience who've left their gardens and their fishing to come along here to cheer us on our way. And we'll begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is the magic of radio. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it is a rather magical medium, radio. Ask Dr. Crippen. He was arrested after killing his wife because the invention by Marconi was used to contact the ship's captain. In fact, the good man was aboard a boat when it was radioed ahead and they...
Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Crippen was not a good man.
I think that's a very good and justified...
No, you know how people gossip.
I know you're using it colloquially, but I mean, I think, yes, I don't think he was a good man.
No, I was trying to avoid to say Dr. Crippen again.
I know. That's what's so difficult about the show. But Clement got in with a correct challenge, so he gets a point for that, and he has 44 seconds to take over the subject of the magic of radio, starting now.
The magic of radio, I think, is that many years ago, before radio was invented, if you want...
Sheila Hancock challenge.
A hesitation.
Yes, I think that was a hesitation, Sheila.
Ooh.
Oh, dear, they're going to be very partisan, this audience, aren't they? Yes. Sheila, welcome back, because you haven't been with us for a number of years, so it's lovely to have you again. I'm talking about you. I'm not bringing my private life into this. I'm just
memories.
Anyway, lovely to have you on the show again. The subject is the magic of radio. You've got in with 38 seconds to go, starting now.
I am.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
I knew you'd do that.
Yes,
I was dead on the buzzer.
Yes,
or
dead on the buzzer. Yes, he did it deliberately just to wind you up. But Sheila, you got another point because that was an incorrect challenge, and you have the magic of radio still, and you have 37 seconds starting now.
It does always seem a miracle to me that here we are speaking into these black balls, and it goes through the air.
Graham Norton challenge.
Surely deviation. I don't know what people at home are thinking.
I know.
I think the listeners know there's always been a lot of balls in this show. You don't have to tell them, Nicholas.
I will not pursue this one any further. Say, Sheila, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 30 seconds to continue on the magic of radio, starting now.
And then, by some miracle, our voices...
Graham, you're challenged again.
I feel badly now, but a repetition of miracle.
Oh. Yes, you did say the miracle of radio before.
Absolutely right.
Well, listen, Graham, you have the subject now. You have 27 seconds. The magic of radio starting now.
The magic of radio is almost as good as the ventriloquist of radio. For if I was to say now, here is a hat. Oh, look, I've taken a rabbit from it. You would not be that thrilled. But at home, people listening are gasping with a mixture of astonishment and joy.
Paul, you're challenged.
No, they're not. I don't think people at home would be gasping.
Well, they might be gasping, some of them. They might be apoplectic.
Well, some of them might be having heart attacks. Or we don't know.
But some of them might be overcome with joy. And
well, they're running
pleasure.
Downstairs to turn this off.
So, no, I disagree with the deviation. Graham, you have another point, and you have 12 seconds. The magic of radio starting now.
Sheila, pick a card. Any one of these things in the deck. And I'll tell... Yes, it was the Six of Spades. Well done, Sheila.
Sheila ain't got challenged. Well,
deviation, what's this got to do with the magic of radio?
The magic of radio!
People at home are gasping at this stuff.
People are just loving it.
He's talking about magic on radio.
Asthmatics are reaching for the Ventolin.
So, Sheila, I agree with you. You have a correct challenge. You have 5 seconds. The magic of radio starting now.
Take it from here, Itmar, round the horn. Just a minute.
Whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle is blown gains an extra point on this occasion with Sheila Hancock. And you won't be surprised, Fat having just returned after all those years, she's in fine form. She's got a strong lead over all the others. And Sheila, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is, how apt, the Battle of Hastings. You're so cheering. It was in 1066. Would you tell us something about that subject in this game, Sheila, starting now?
I have a terrible confession to make. I have actually cheated. Because listening to this programme, I realise that when you come to a town, you talk about the history. So I looked up the Battle of Hastings on the web last night, and I came across the most divine sight by somebody called Glenn Crack, who lives in Battle. It's absolutely beautiful about the Battle of Hastings, which happened in 1066, and now I know was between King Harold of England and William the Conqueror, both battling for the crown. And it took place on a hill whose name I can't remember, but it's 10 kilometres away from Hastings.
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of 10.
Yes, you did use 10 before.
1066. All right, I'll get you, yeah. Clement. Still as nasty as he was 20 years ago. I bet you he'll come in at the last minute, too, and get a point.
Right, anyway, that was a justified one. Well, listen, Clement. 21 seconds. The Battle of Hastings with you, Clement, starting now.
The Battle of Hastings in 1066. Was actually the last battle that we lost on our land some 950 years ago. And it wasn't in Hastings. It was in Senlac, which is some miles down the coast from here.
Clement Boyd speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's one behind our leader, Sheila Hancock, and then Graham Morton and Paul Merton in that order. Graham, will you take the next subject? Madame Tussaud, or, to use the common anglicised pronunciation, Madame Tussauds. Will you tell us something about that subject? Oh, it's wonderful if he's chosen for you, isn't it? Mm. I can just guess what you might be saying. 60 seconds starting now.
I recently had the shock slash honour of being told I was going to be in Madame Tussauds, presumably being made out of some leftover bits when they recreated Jerry Halliwell. But I found the thrill slightly tinged by the realization that ultimately there will be a day when they put a sack over me and carry me out and melt me down to be someone.
Sheila, you challenged.
Is there a lot of me's?
There were a lot of me's, yes.
It's a tiny word, Sheila. It's a tiny word.
We do try and resist
all
the temptation.
Right,
no, but you...
No,
but you have challenged, and it's a correct challenge, so we'll have to restrain yourself in future, but on this occasion, for correct challenge, you have the subject, Madame Tussauds, and 34 seconds starting now.
Well, she was obviously French, and I seem to remember a dreadful story about...
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Paul. Madame Tussauds is with you. Another point to you. 28 seconds starting now.
It's one of the most popular attractions in London. I can't think why, really. Once you've been...
Graham Norton challenge.
I feel slighted and insulted. My mother has a season pass.
What we do on this occasion is, because we love the interruption, we give Graham a bonus point for what he said, because you enjoyed it so much. And Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject. 23 seconds. Madame Tussauds starting now.
Crowds of people queuing upside morning, noon and night. I really don't know why they bother, but now I realise that Graham's wax effigy is prominently figured. I expect to see those queues even lengthen.
Crowds, Sheila Hancock.
Sorry.
What's that?
Crowds and queues.
Crowds and queues.
Yes, crowds and queues. You thought crowds it was in queues before, yeah. You were talking about people, but in different
forms. The old crowd and queue trap you fell into.
10 seconds. Still with you. Another point to you, Paul. Madame Tussauds, starting now.
In 1968, they melted down Godzilla and Nicholas Parsons was put into the Chamber of Horrors. And what a remarkable sight it was. Tourists from all over the world.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved forward. He's only one behind our leader, Sheila Hancock. Sheila, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the 60s. Tell us something about that wonderful period in the century, the last century, starting now.
Well, the 60s is a lovely age to be. I'm in my 60s, and I've never been happier, really, because people always say, good Lord, you look good, as though they expect you to be sagging, which I am, but I prop it all up and keep going. And also, I was young in the 60s, and I used to go around in my Courage boots and my Mary Quant mini skirt.
Paul Graham Norton challenge.
Repetition of mine.
I know.
Oh, right. Right. Fair enough.
Yes, touche. You had him on the me's, he's got you on the my's.
Absolutely.
So it all works out evenly in the end, and I tried to... You know, 31 seconds for you, Graham, on the 60s, starting now.
I was born in the swinging 60s, or as they were known in Ireland... the end of the world. Because, of course, before that decade, that country was a lovely place. A simple, gorgeous location.
Paul Merton challenge.
Was a tiny hesitation.
There was, yes, he struggled over that word. Yeah, we interpret that as hesitation. 14 seconds are available for the 60s with you, Paul, starting now.
As regards pop music, the 60s were undoubtedly the decade. So many bands came along that had huge hits. Records were very popular, and here at the White Rock Theatre Hastings, tributes are often paid to those particular musicians of the day.
Well, Paul Merton, who at the beginning was in the fourth place, he's now moved forward with those extra points, and he's now in the lead, one ahead of Sheila Hancock, who's just two ahead of Graham Norton and Clement Freud in that order, so still very close. And Graham, your turn to begin, and the subject is How I Get Rid of the Winter Blues. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I have a foolproof way of getting rid of the winter blues. Simply pop in a videotape of Lorraine Kelly's Jazzercise and slip into a Lycra outfit. And oh, the fun you'll have.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Deviation. I mean, please. The thought of Graham in Lycra. Video. Please.
It's in the privacy of my own home.
Wow. Now, the awful thing is, Sheila, he might actually do that for all we know. So how do I judge on that?
No, that's true.
It is difficult, isn't it? Let's give Graham the benefit of the doubt on this occasion and say we assume that occasions you do jump into a Lycra uniform and listen to Lorraine Kelly. Graham, you have the benefit of the doubt, so you keep the subject, How I Get Rid of the Winter Blues. 45 seconds available, starting now.
How I get rid of the winter blues is to view Tracy Shaw's salsa aerobics. It's a superb workout, I can't tell you. And when you take off your gear, it's a bit damp with sweat, sprinkle watercress seeds on it, and there's an added fascination of growing a crop right there in your bathroom on discarded clothing. Your cleaner will see the funny side, I promise you, as you ask her to harvest it when you're going to work. I can't believe I'm still talking.
I enjoyed it so much, Graham, they let you talk on. Paul, you challenge first.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. 16 seconds, Paul. How I Get Rid of the Winter Blues, starting now.
Well, the best thing to do is to have a walk by the sea. Get all that ozone deep into your lungs. If that doesn't work, drink 4 bottles of vodka. And you won't necessarily get rid of the winter blues, but by the time you wake up, it will be spring. And as the flowers emerge, the daffodils...
Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so, has moved forward, increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, your turn to begin, and the subject is John Logie Baird. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
John Logie Baird was born in Scotland Well, the name Logie was so frowned upon that he had to move to Hastings, where he invented television. Now, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, and the first one of its kind.
Graham Norton Challenge.
Now, this might be controversial, but was the repetition of invented?
I did say he was the inventor of, but if you want to...
You're quite right, you did. He said he was the inventor of, and then he said invented.
I never said it.
Thank you for pointing that out, Clement. You keep the subject, an incorrect challenge, you get a point for that. You still have John Logie Baird, only in the subject sense, and the 41 seconds starting now.
I would have thought the important invention was the second telephone, because what on earth...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of telephone.
There was a telephone before, yes. So, Paul, you have the subject of John Logie Baird, and there are 34 seconds starting now.
Logie, but what do you keep saying, good gag? Why do you keep saying good gag? Clement,
yes?
Clement keeps saying good gag to me, sir.
I know, and he... So that you'd stop talking, he presses buzzer and get in first.
That's right.
Which is just what he's done.
It's not me, sir, it's Freud.
I think we're going to ignore all this and say, Paul, you have John Logie Baird and 32 seconds starting now.
Logie Baird, of course, was very popular in the 1960s, as indeed was his little bear friend, and they used to live in Jellystone Park. And they were always after picnic baskets, and the ranger would come round and the little bear would say to his chum, two bears.
Graham Norton.
I remember his friend was called Boo Boo, but I didn't say that.
So, Graham, a correct challenge. 20 seconds is still available. You tell us something about John Logie Baird starting now.
John Logie Baird's invention of the television was wonderful, because before that, the only entertainment was your wife sitting beside the serving hatch in the kitchen, reading the newspaper headlines out loud.
Sheila, you got in there. The ardent feminist couldn't...
Deviation. Yes. Sexism.
Did you take it in turns? It'll be interesting. Who's reading the news tonight? Oh, it's my husband. Who's reading the news tonight? Oh, it's my wife.
It'll be a mother-in-law joke next. Yes.
Within the rules of just a minute, you were not actually deviating, so you kept the, keep the subject still, and you have 11 seconds. John Logie Baird starting now.
John Logie Baird had quite a dull day when he created his marvellous thing because there was nothing on. He'd failed to alert any television companies at all. That programme was...
Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, got that extra point, and with others in the round, he's moved forward. He's now in second place, just behind Paul Merton, and he's just ahead of Sheena Hancock and Clement Freud. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject now is... The most eccentric person I know. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it's very difficult, really. How do you define eccentricity? If we look at Mr. Clement Freud, he has done so many...
Clement Challenge.
Not Mr.
We had this once before on one of the shows last year. And
what is it, then? What are you?
It's Sir.
I didn't know.
But, I mean, even if someone's Sir or Lord, you can still refer to them as Mr. if you wish to, colloquially speaking. 54 seconds are available for the most eccentric person I know, Paul, starting now.
On second thoughts, the most eccentric person I know is a man called Rob, who lives in Swansea. He's, over the years, been a performance artist, a sculptor, a painter, and he now makes his living making street furniture. This is the sort of thing where you walk around and you say, oh, look, it's a nice little sculpture, and he might well have constructed that. He used to walk round a shopping centre with a crash helmet and a daffodil sticking out of the corner. Very eccentric behaviour indeed, and people would come up to him and they would...
Clement Freud Challenge.
Repetition of people.
People, you had more people than the earlier
ones. Right, yes.
So Clement's got in with 26 seconds to go, the most eccentric person I know, starting now.
I think His Royal Highness the Duke of Gloucester.
I will say, Freud does this on occasions. He comes up with a bomb, though. He thinks, that's good enough for them. Big laugh. I'll retire on that one.
Would that be Mr. Gloucester?
You could call him Mr. Gloucester. He may not be very happy about it. Sheila, you challenge first.
Well, he ground to a halt, didn't he? Now I'm dying to know why the Duke of Gloucester is eccentric.
If you hadn't bothered, you'd know.
No, but you stopped. You stopped.
And that was hesitation, Sheila, so you have the subject of the most eccentric person I know, starting now.
It's terribly difficult in our profession to choose eccentric people because we're all a bit round the twist, and I find people who work 9 to 5 and wear nice suits rather eccentric, actually. Living people, I find it difficult to define as this because they're still around, but I can name several. I've forgotten what agony this game is.
Extra loud laughter and applause was because Sheila was illustrating with hands and every part of her anatomy efforts to going. Under pressure to not to hesitate or repeat anything.
Every part?
I can see her legs moving as well as her hands.
Yes.
So easy when you listen to it, but it really is difficult.
I know, but that's the art that you display in order to make it sound so. But Sheila, you were speaking as a whistle winner with other points in the round. You're now equal with Graham Norton in second place, just behind our leader Paul Merton and just ahead of Clement Freud. And it's also your turn to begin. And the subject is my pet hate. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I'm going to get loads of letters, but things that I hate, pets, are dogs. I have a local park and they make the most awful mess. And the other day I was there with my grandchild and a blooming great Alsatian was nose to nose with her and the owner said...
Paul, just...
Repetition of nose.
Nose to nose. You had a correct challenge on nose-to-nose, Paul, so you've got my pet hate and you have 42 seconds starting now.
Undoubtedly, my pet hate is doing this show. It's the most extraordinary bind. I am, of course, joking. It's a wonderful thing to do. And my pet hate is when I'm not asked to do it often enough.
Clement Freud challenge.
Do it.
Do it. You repeated, do it.
Do it, sir. Yes.
Clement, you've got him with 29 seconds to tell us something about my pet hate, starting now.
Most of my pets hate me, the gerbils, rabbits, cats, bunchery-gars. Goldfish is especially unkeen on me. You can speak to...
Sheila Chan. No, it's a mistake. I was going to say me, but you can't have me, can you?
I think a lot of people would love to respond to your laughter remark, actually, Sheila. But you did have him for me before. It's only fair you had Graham for me, so why shouldn't you have Clement for me?
Now, hang on a second. Why shouldn't Sheila have Clement for you? Is that what you said?
No, I said... It may have sounded like that.
It must be the sea air.
No. The repetition of the word me.
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
That's all right. 16 seconds, my pet hate, Sheila, starting now.
Colloquially speaking, I hate cyclists. I loathe the way they go over traffic lights when they're red. Also, I'm very suspicious about the outfits they wear. Those middle-aged men in tight pants cycling around the street.
Sheila Hancock, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and where is she now? You're doing well, Sheila.
Am I?
You might, yes, because we're moving into the last round, and you move forward with all the points in that round, and you're equal with our leader now, Paul Merton.
Wow.
Yes, but I do have to... I do want to make one serious point before we go. I don't think you should hate cyclists, Sheila. I really think if more people got on their bicycles and got out of their cars, it would be a much happier world and a much safer world. That's from the heart.
Do you?
What about
and a much healthier world as
what
well.
What about ambulance drivers? How safe is that? Two stretchers between two bikes? That's not very safe, is it?
They're in ambulances, not in cars.
So if we all buy ambulances, you'll be happy.
Buy your bicycles.
How do you know which one's a new ambulance?
Get fit, get the fresh air, and stop polluting the atmosphere. You know me on my little hobby horse here, right?
Do you ride a bike?
I do ride a hobby horse. We're into the final round.
No.
Yes, we are. And Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin.
All right.
And the subject is sitcoms.
Sitcom 60 Seconds, starting now.
People in the glamorous world of media are so busy, ladies and gentlemen, organizing lunches, dashing hither-tither, they don't have time to say situation comedy. No, they barely have a second in their day to say sitcom. And people know what that means. That would be an amusing thing happening in a location, usually a kitchen or a doctor's waiting room. I found in experience.
Sheila Hancock challenged.
It's sort of hesitation, isn't it?
It's sort of, yes.
It's a long word. Foreign people listen to this program. I just want the...
He was dragging out his words, but he don't think he quite hesitated.
No, all right.
Got teetering on the border of hesitation. So, Graham, you have the benefit of the doubt and 31 seconds on sitcoms starting now.
Sitcoms can be quite sexy. Who can forget the frisson twixt Terry and June? There was something about it. I don't know those
So, Sheila, what was your chance?
Well, it was hesitation, wasn't it?
Well, it was a mumble of words which in stumble, which she interpreted as hesitation. So, Sheila, you have 20 seconds. They're still available. The subject is sitcoms, and you start now.
Sitcoms usually last about half an hour and are very often done in front of an audience with four cameras, which they edit afterwards. I have done several in my time, something called The Rag Trade, Bedsit Girl, Now Take My Wife, Mr. Digby Darling, all of which...
Paul, challenge you.
Well, we could all recite our credits. I mean.
So,
I mean, this is. Well, I mean, you don't. You well, okay. What is.
And Sheila still keeps the subject of sitcoms, and there are 3 seconds available starting now.
Nowadays, The Royal Family is one of the best sitcoms in the world.
Let me give you the final situation for those interested in points and scores. Right, Clement Freud and Graham Norton, who've triumphed admirably in the past before, have both finished together equal in third place. They are 3 points behind Paul Merton, who often finishes up there in front. But somebody who hasn't played the game for, she says, nearly 20 years. I don't know if it's as many as that. But she's come back in triumph to triumph with her points 2 ahead of Paul Merton, our winner this week, Sheila Hancock. It only remains for me to say thank you to our 4 exciting and delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Sheila Hancock and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Sablehurst for helping with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately. We are grateful to Ian Messiter, who created this game for us, which we enjoy playing. And also we thank our producer, Claire Jones. And we're also grateful to this lovely audience here at the White Rock in Hastings, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from our panel, goodbye until the next time we take to the air and we play... Just a minute. Till then, goodbye.
And next week, Stephen Fry joins the roll call of contestants. That's at the same time next Sunday.